Okay, hello everyone. Welcome to the Inner Circle coaching call. Happy September. Gosh, amazing how time goes by so quickly. All right, so today we are on the second Wednesday call of the month, which is the deal analysis call. We have these calls twice a month. The deal analysis call is the second Wednesday of the month, and the fourth Wednesday of the month is the seller and buyer call, which is on this call what we do is we cover any deals that you're currently working on. If you want to analyze those deals on the call, we can do that. Any live examples, or by the way, if you have any other questions about in your business, any other challenges, we can get those answered as well. We do try to focus this call more on deal analysis, but even if you have something else, maybe it's a challenge or I think it was just maybe two calls ago, we had a good conversation. It was about a little bit of short-term rentals and then lease options. So that's fine. If you have something that's either a challenge in your business or something you want to share or looking for answers in your business, we can go over that as well. And also, if you, I encourage you to get on, to chime in and share your questions on the call. But if you choose to email, you can do that also. And you can email at nathan@larrygoins.com. All right. So I usually like to open it up with a story or, a scenario or something that's happened. So I will share with you a recent story about, I think most people know this on the call, but if you don't, I run real estate in three different countries. So the story I'm going to give you right now is a story in Uganda, about a property that we are pursuing, and it is a 36-unit apartment complex. And the point of this story that I want to share with you, it's about relationships and the power and the importance of relationships in your business and not being silent, okay? So if you can imagine having a real estate business, maybe some of you have, maybe you haven't before, but if you can imagine having a real estate business right now, but just rewind the clock on the calendar about maybe 15, 20 years ago, just imagine what it would be like. What I mean by that is imagine not having the internet, right? Imagine not being able to jump online, Zillow or on Trulia or, whatever, ePraisal or whatever resources online. Imagine, wow, that's kind of frightening, isn't it? And then imagine not having, being able to email. Just imagine that, email. Let's kick it back 20 years. Imagine email, signing electronic documents or sending emails back and forth to get communication done. How would you do business? Think about that for a second. How would you get business done? Well, that's a very true reality to the United States 20, 30, 40 years ago. There wasn't those really cool tools that we have these days and technology, video chat and all that stuff just wasn't in existence yet, wasn't in common use as it is today. Well, if we just jump over to the eastern side of the world, here in Uganda, a lot of that stuff still isn't in use. There is no central database, MLS, for properties, and there is no Zillow and all that stuff. So I'm kind of giving you an example of where this is at comparison to the United States in regards to technology. However, they have some very cool technology that is probably a little bit more advanced than the United States, such as digital cash, such as not using digital money, which is very ahead of some other parts of the world. Now, here's the point of the story. How do you get real estate done? Right? How do you get real estate done 30 years ago without any flashy-dashy technology? Now, don't get me wrong. The technology's here. The emails are here. The electronic signature, it's possible. There's apps for that. It's just not being utilized, right? It's not that the technology's not available here. It's not that there's no Wi-Fi. It's a matter of technology's not being used. So the point of my story is, how would you do business? I just got off the call about 2 hours ago with a coaching client, and this is essentially what it came down to. There wasn't a lot of marketing money in his business right now, and it's just the struggle he's in, and he's in a bind, and he's trying to figure out how can I build my business without spending money on direct mail or spending money on yard signs, right? Just how can I get free leads, right? Well, if we were to rewind 20 years ago, there wasn't those sources. Everything wrapped around – again, goes right back to relationships, right? It's picking up the phone, making the contacts, building relationships with people, finding out what they need and what they're trying to get done, and them knowing also what you need. So that's how business was and still should be done. Sometimes with these fancy dancy apps that we got going on can kind of pull away, as you know, you've heard it before, how social media, this is all in the news these days, social media is pulling away people. People are not being as I was literally listening to, I don't know if it was Good Morning America or something like that, some news where they say social media, particularly Instagram, is making people more sad, right? Because of the life, you know, it's not a real true life, right? So the whole idea is we can have all these tools, but are we being most effective with them, right? Are we being really effective? And are we actually gaining by having all these tools in our life? Are we using them to 100%? I know for me, I had to cut out a lot of stuff that I wasn't using in my real estate business, right? And just got down to the skinny, got really down to the meat and potatoes, which this is a phone business, all right? Keep that in mind for yourself. This is a phone business. So relationships really matter. Going back to this 36-unit apartment building, it's currently being built and under construction. It's almost finished, and the opportunity is there. So I have a company here. We've opened up into property management as well. And so looking at the building, I got contact just by opening up my mouth, by the way. Keep that in mind. Just by opening up your mouth, someone hearing that you're involved in real estate. I was having lunch with a buddy of mine, and there was a few other people in the room, and we were just talking about properties and all that. Well, this woman came up to me the next day, and she said, "Hey, I overheard you talking about properties and what you're doing." She said, "Well, do you see that building right there?" She says, "That's my uncle's building, and he can't finish it, and he's looking to just sell it, and he just wants to sell it fast, and, you know, and whatever he can do, right, because he needs the money." So the point of that story is, now we're pursuing the property. We already went to the property. We did a whole inspection. The property's like 93% finished. The guy just ran out of funds. Like, he had a whole other, that business was sucking up most of his money. So we can't finish the building. Now I think he could, of course, I have ideas of how we can get funding and get a partner, but unfortunately that man doesn't think he can finish the building. So he has to sell it off. And so that just came by building relationships, talking to people about what you do. If people don't know what you do, real estate, if they don't know you're a full-time real estate investor, if they don't know that this is your primary business, let's put it that way. If they don't know you're in business, if your business is a real estate investor, then you're probably not going to get as much business as you want to. I know I referred to this on the previous call where I said, remember the actor or the actress. Even though they are actually, this was actually also in the news too. There was an actor from the Bill Cosby show. Don't quote me on the name, but this was literally came out on the he used to be on the Cosby show, and he actually works at Trader Joe's supermarket, but he's still on TV. He's actually still on TV even now, but he also works at Trader Joe's. Now, the whole thing about us as real estate investors, especially as you're growing your business, no one needs to know where you earn your money from, but they just need to know that you're the actor or actress. Does that make sense? That you are a real estate investor. If that's what you're trying to pursue your business in, people need to know that that's your business. They don't need to know what you do full-time for your income, unless people ask, but as you're that's what you talk about. That's what actors and actresses do. They don't tell you exactly maybe how they earn their income because they don't get projects all the time, or they're maybe not a big star right away. So they don't say how they earn their income, but they tell you that they're an actor or an actress. So I always use that as a reference, because as you go out into your real estate business, that should be a very important key to how you handle your conversations. Okay? So I wanted to pass that over to you because relationships are really important in this business. And as you analyze deals, as you talk to people, as you build your business and your power team, those are some of the most important elements. People knowing what you do, how you do it, how you can help them. And, you know, if I wasn't talking about real estate in that conversation, in that lunchroom there, then, you know, someone would not have heard me. I wouldn't have gotten that contact and a potential opportunity for a nice, really nice building, a motivated seller, right? A lead that could turn into something. So anyway, wanted to share that with you. And then want to open up the lines and let you chime in here and get your questions answered. Any questions at all, but if you have something specific about a real estate deal, then let's go over that as well. All right, so first one who wants to jump in, feel free to do so.
Hey, Nathan, it's Forrest.
Hey, Forrest. It's been a while. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing well. How are you? It has been a while.
Nice.
Missed you.
Yeah. Yeah. I miss you too, man. It's been good. It's been good. Yeah, things have been good.
Good.
You got some how's your wife doing?
She's awesome. She's
nice.
Awesome. Yeah, she just did her 100th staging, a couple stagings together.
What?
Yeah, so...
Wow, that's fantastic. Congratulations.
Yeah, she is excited about it, and so...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know this isn't deal analysis, but we'll get to that. So anyway...
Yeah, that's fine.
she just did that, so she I said, well, that's special enough, so what do you want, you know, to celebrate
yeah.
with? So
she's, exactly.
She's going to go skydiving, so I'm going to...
Oh, no
I'm gonna let
way.
Her go skydiving. That's what she wants to do. So
oh,
she's always wanted
such...
to do it.
Oh, what a such a that's an awesome experience. Oh,
yeah,
I'm happy for her.
Yeah, that's a 100, you know, staging event prize, right?
Right.
That's worth it. So
awesome.
We're gonna do that. Yeah, up in Warrenton.
Awesome.
We're just been so busy lately. I mean, it's like I don't know about you, but everything is just so busy lately. Can't
mm-hmm.
get enough done. But other
right.
than that, so that's cool. She's doing good. And, life's going well.
That's great.
So deal analysis. I have a mobile home under contract, and it's a 2007, three bed, two bath, 1,100 something square feet, single wide. It's like, it's really nice, Fleetwood single wide, in a park, $425 a month. But I think the deal, I don't think I'm going to follow through with the deal because, and this is because I just don't know everything, but according to the park manager, in order for me to sell it on owner financing, I would have to have a dealer's license. And I've heard this spoken before on some of these conference calls, and I just wanted to get your opinion, on how long I should take a return on investment on this thing. I have it under contract for $19,000, under $19,100.
Okay.
Just like $19,060 or something like that. And I'm trying to get, to break even at 3 years. And I haven't had much luck at $700 a month plus the $425 in my advertising. So that would be like a 3-year return at $19,000, or 3-year break even. Let's put it like that. So, and then I don't know what the dealer's license is involved. So, I mean, do you have experience with that? And how much time or money does that take?
Sure. Okay. So, first of all, is the for the $19,000, is it just the house or does the land come with it also?
No. No land.
Just the house.
It's just a 2007 double wide.
Okay. Yeah, so the dealer's license basically because it's a DMV vehicle. It's a vehicle, right? At the end of the day, that's where the license comes in. And the license are going to vary state by state. I don't know what the law is in Virginia for that. I don't know what the fee is. I'm sure it's readily available right on their website, on the DMV website in Virginia.
Yeah.
But I don't know the little intricacies. I've never bought a mobile home without the land. So just to share that part of it from the investing side, I don't recommend it because you're just buying a house. You're just buying a movable house. The other fact, so right there, there's no land to me. I think that's just like
that's
I would just
deal.
Disregard it.
Right.
Yeah, it's a deal killer. Beyond that, if it came with the land, let's pretend for a second, it came with the land. The second part I would say, not really, is the single wide. The single wide to me, now, unless this isn't a park of, is it a 55 plus community, or let's just call it senior. Is it a senior park by chance, or?
No, it's a nice park. It's one of the nicer parks I've been in, but it's not a, it's not a specific.
It's not a senior park. Okay.
Right.
So the only thing is with the single wide, is they're just more narrow and they're good for maybe one or two people. Yeah, don't get me wrong. People can put a family in it, but I've bought double wides with the property, of course, with the land, and I don't mind those. Those are actually great. They're just a little bit bigger for a growing family, right? So it could be two kids, three kids, that kind of thing, or they're starting off with one kid and they're going to have a few more, that kind of thing. So that would be the second thing I would say no to. But other than that, I would say their first thing, bud, is the fact the land's not there. It's a
right.
Risk.
Right. Yeah. Okay. I understand.
Yeah. And I think right on the DMV website for Virginia, you'll be able to get that information. It'll tell you how much the license is.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That's cool. Because I had looked into buying properties in parks before, and it seems like this is an Americana park, and it's a national company out of the Northeast, and they have quite a bit more stringent rules. And like I have talked to park owners and managers at more rural, locally owned things, and they don't have that problem. They're like, yeah, sure, rent to own, whatever the hell puts a body in a trailer, So. That's really their attitude. This one just seems a lot more stringent. But, I'll probably pass. What the heck?
Yeah.
Good practice.
Yeah. Could you, you have it under contract, you said?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, if you could wholesale it, other than that, but.
Well, I actually am wholesaling it. Actually wholesaling it, and I have a wholesale contract. But the thing is, is it's a friend, and he's never done a trailer before, and I don't want to screw him. And so I'm kind of helping the situation out because I'm willing to walk away from the deal to not have a friend mad at me. That's the last thing I need is an angry friend. So
yeah.
That was my whole intent anyway. I wasn't going to carry it. I was just going to wholesale it, but I was just, looking out for the best interest of my friend. Cause,
that's cool.
Okay. So that's what I do. And then, let's see. So the last time we talked, I was talking about that property in North Carolina that on the Albemarle
Sound.
And so, So I never bought that house. She didn't agree to my renegotiation. I kind of knew she wouldn't, but I did go down there and I looked at the place and I talked to the neighbors and, even the real estate agent that was down there, she goes, I don't see you. I said, I'm right in front of the house. She goes, are you on this other island? I said, what do you mean? I said, I don't know, but I know that I'm at the right. She goes, if you're on the other island or the other peninsula, other peninsula, she goes, I don't recommend that area. I'm like, some people, they really get stuck in bad situations, and I feel for that lady because she's stuck in a bad situation. And, it was not her dream to live there. It was her husband's dream. He quit being an engineer, a government contractor engineer, to go be a crab fisherman.
Really?
Totally changed her life, right? So he buys his house down there. That's really great story. So he buys his house down, house with, like, this crab business out of the backyard of the house. And then the guy dies. And so she's left with teenage kids and this piece of crap house that he just duct taped together. But it was beautiful at one time, right? I mean, it was just beautiful home at one time. And it's been vacant for a couple years. It's got three heat pumps and all three of them have failed. There's a big crack running down the middle of the concrete, you know, and it's on piers because it's right on the sound. And then the seawall, God's taken the seawall back to the sea. And so, you know, it's like half, you can see like the water coming up on the wrong side of the wall, you know, like
underneath
it. And I was talking to the neighbor and she said, yeah, the last person that wanted to buy this place actually brought a engineer out here. And he said, you know, looking at it, it would probably cost between $100,000 to $150,000 to fix the seawall. And this house is literally 15 feet from the sound. I mean, look, the side of the house is like 15 feet from the seawall. And the seawall
failed.
And then it's only like, the grass is only like 3 feet above the tide. Wow. And it's got a septic. It's got a drain field and a septic. I said, where's the water go? You know what I mean? Because the septic's like 3 feet down, you know? So this is the septic.
Got
to be at like the water table. So I was like, so I had it on contract for like $360,000. And that's really what the house would have been worth. It was if everything was like pristine and working and, you know. I mean, but it needs almost. It needs almost $25,000 in air conditioners, right? You know, three heat pumps and condensers. You know, installation.
Right.
And that's $25,000 for that size house. So, I gave her a revised offer at 101, and I really was like 90 something, and I felt bad, so I went up in the 100,000 range just so she didn't. Reach to the phone and slap me. And then she still said, no, I can't do it. I said, all right. So we were at one of our networking events in town here, and I was talking about this problem, and because we do, like, problem solving at some of our networking events. And I said, well, I got this problem. And so one of my friends is like, give me the number, and I'll call, and I'll lowball her and make your offer look a little bit better.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So she did, and still never heard
of it. You know, and I don't know if this is the right place to say this, but Forrest, that is, what your friend did, in that deal, we can have a private conversation about that sometime. No, because in the city I used to live in Massachusetts, it's a fun game. It's a fun game. You know, if you have a good friend that can do that with you, it's a fun game to play because you can get some great deals that way.
Isn't reality all about, I mean, at the end of the day, the house is worth what the house is worth. So,
at the end of the day, you're right.
Right? So it's really about framing the seller.
That's right.
It's really about making the seller realize that the house is only worth what the house is only worth. And so
you're right.
So, you know, I think it is an employable strategy if you have somebody that's willing to do that, you know?
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you what, Forrest. I got my dad into real estate a few years ago, we're 8 years now. Yeah, 8 years ago I got my dad into real estate, but not apartments. I got him into two commercial buildings. And one of the commercial buildings, my agent, I have an agent in that area, in that city, and he gave me a heads up that this property was becoming available. So I said, oh, okay, great. So what I did was the same exact thing. I had my dad call, and I called. We had two different names. And my dad called to start with his offer, and I went in and I did the lowball. And I told my dad exactly what to say, how to say it, and I knew what I was going to do when I went in there. Well, guess what? My dad won the deal. And he got it for the great price. Mine was super low. His was just a little higher. And he got the deal. And it's a great property. He's doing a 10-year lease on it. It's got a 10-year lease. He's not going to sell it. It's just a buy and hold. He's doing it. He put it under contract for a 10-year lease, which is going to be renewed next year. And you know what? The thing is, I've done that multiple times. But the reality is, Forrest, you're savvy. You know what you're doing. To come out and say that, and some people might be listening to this call, like, how the heck do I do that? Or if you just tell me. I can't imagine coming out and telling someone that, hey, this is what you're going to do. You're going to have your friend or someone else call and do this and that. It's just, it takes right. time to get to that level. But at the end of the day, Forrest, what you said is correct. The house is worth what it is. Your creativity to get the deal is up to you, right? And it, mm-hmm. you know, and there are maps out there, or let's just say methods to get the deal, but some people want a framework. And I don't want to get too gray about it, but basically some people want to know other people's ABCs and how right. did you do it. But to teach what you just said, sometimes it's just not teachable. It's just doable. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Like some people hear that in a seminar and they're like, wow, that sounds cool, but they would never go out and do it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. but yeah, man, that's great. I hope something happens. You never know. What are you going to do with that? You're going to just do the rehab? You're going to end up going with it and do the rehab?
I would wholesale that thing, man. I wouldn't touch that thing.
You'd wholesale.
That'd be somebody yeah. else's problem.
I know, man, because that sounds like a beast of a problem. It really does.
Well,
I remember,
so, you know, it's a wooden structure.
Yeah.
It's a wooden structure okay. next to salt water, right?
That's horrible.
You know, that's horrible, right?
That's horrible. Yeah. Yeah.
That's just a recipe for disaster in and of
yeah.
itself. And then
what was the year built? What year did they build it in?
I think it's 89. So, but like at all the so it's got those like storm windows, you know, that scroll down or, you know, like roll
mm-hmm.
down those metal
yeah.
you know, blinds that
yeah.
And you know, when they touch
when the wind comes
in or whatever, and so
yeah.
it's got that, but she's had them down so long that the water gets in and it's rotted
yeah.
all the thresholds, right? So all the thresholds
yeah.
and the plywood and everything are all rotten.
Yeah.
You can stick a screwdriver right through the threshold and most of the doors that are facing the bay. It's just
right.
once you start on that. Yeah, and I'm the kind of person
yeah.
that I can't cover that up, right? You know, I gotta,
mm-hmm.
I gotta
mm-hmm.
know what it is. So I'd be tearing
right.
that house apart. I'd be in that house
yeah.
so bad, you know, I'd be crying at nighttime trying to go to sleep.
Yeah.
So,
oh, that's true. Oh, goodness.
Like this other guy, man, he called me up. He goes, "This is funny. This is a deal analysis right here." Right? So you know, this guy called me up. And He goes, "Hey," I said, "Yep." He said, "I need to sell my house." I said, "Perfect." He said, "Give me the address." And so he was telling me he just renovated it, all this stuff, and he needs to sell it. I said, "Well, if you just renovated it, why aren't you selling it on the MLS?" He goes, "I am selling it
right.
on the MLS." I said, "Well, why did you call me?" He goes,
"Yeah."
Well, I said, "Let's hold on. I said, let's back up a minute." I said,
"Mm-hmm.
Why are you in such a hurry to sell this house?" I said, Are you getting called? Is your loan getting called?" And he goes, "Yes." I said, "Okay." I said, "So you got a hard money loan?" And I said, "So let me just finish the story." I said, "You got a hard money loan. It took you more money than you thought. You're at the end of your loan. You know, you're about ready to get called or you're about ready to get penalty points. And
mm-hmm.
you're trying to sell the house." And he goes, "Yes." I said, "Okay. Well, let me look at it and let me see what I can do." So I looked at it and I said, "There's nothing I can do, right? You know, the thing
mm-hmm.
is set for like 120. He had it listed.
Right.
He started the listing less than 30 days before I, you know, was looking at it online. And he was trying to sell it for 155. And so it's way over, you know. And the description
yeah.
said it's got 60 new floor joists. He's got new subfloors. I'm like, "Oh, my God, man. This guy did not do his
yeah.
due diligence, right, or get an inspection.
Right,
or,
right.
You know? And so, anyway,
yeah.
I said, "He's not going to like my offer, right?" Because in the first 30 days, he had already done two price reductions. And
wow.
it's listed with an agent. So he called me up, like on a Saturday night and goes, "Hey, man, where's my offer?" I said, "You know, I just really didn't want to insult you." I said, "You know I'm an investor. You're an investor.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to insult you with my price because my price
yeah.
is probably going to be less than what you owe. And so,
right.
you know, you probably should just, you know, try to sell an MLS." I said, "And secondly, you're listed with an agent and I can't, you know, you can't accept an offer while you're listed with an agent. And it's not ethical
yeah.
for me to even send you an offer." He goes,
right.
"Well, the agent's my wife." I'm like, "Great." So he said, "So I can take the offer." I said, "All right, man, no problem." I said, "You want me to spend my time creating an offer that I know you're not going to take?" He goes, "Yes." I'm like, All right, man. So oh, I did. God. I spent my time. I made a cash offer, and I sent it to him, and he texted me back like in 30 seconds. He goes, "That's too low. I can't accept that offer." I said, "I just told you can't.
Told you that. Yeah.
Exactly. I told you that before you wasted my time twice. Yeah. You know?
Gracious.
Oh God. Oh my goodness. I got a piece of mail back. Well, not me, but my team. We got a piece of mail back in the mail, and I got a scanned copy of it. And it said it was an offer. We sent out the offer in the mail with a contract, and they wrote on the letter back. They said, they said, "How much weed were you smoking before you mailed this?" I was laughing. I'm like, that is priceless. I love it. I was like, that is too funny, you know. But that was, you know, that was. And you know, now that we're on that topic about crazy offers, the funny thing is, it was last year, 2017. I remember I was in Portugal, and we got a I don't know if they printed it out. I'm not too sure because I never saw it physically, but it was a photo of a little kid. Like, I think it's a meme online or something. It was a photo of a little baby pegging a finger, and I guess they included it back with the offer as a picture. And I was like, that's too funny, man. Sellers can be funny sometimes, man.
Yeah, they spend way too much time trying to piss you off, you know?
Right. Yeah, that's crazy. Oh, goodness. How about on the other side of stuff, man? I know you're – are you doing any rehabs right now? I know you're always doing –
I've got one stuck in a title issue that I've got funded, got approved price. It's just stuck in a title issue. And as soon as I can do it, I said, screw it. I'm going back to flipping because I'm bored. So I said, you know what? My volume's not high enough right now. I need a large check. So, it's a good house in a good neighborhood, a good price. It's an easy carpet and paint, kitchen and bath, you know, thing. It's just nothing difficult. And, you know, it's a 2,100 square foot single level, all brick ranch. I mean, it's the holy grail of houses. And so I'm just going to take it, but it's this stupid title thing, man. I mean, it's always something, right? But anyway,
You know what, Forrest? I could email you this, but I'll say it on the call as well. I know you do a lot of local stuff locally. You should check this app out, created by another investor. It's basically whether yourself or if you have team members, you can even have your team use it, which we're doing that now. It's called Deal Machine. If you want to go online, you have it.
Yeah, you drive by a big house, you take a picture, and it shows you the owner, and you can hit mail the letter. Yeah.
Have you been using it?
I haven't mailed a letter with it, but I have used it to where I get the information that I want.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, okay, cool. All right, I was wondering what you're – because we haven't used it yet. Like, we're just starting.
Yeah, and I used it to the free membership.
A few postcards that have gone out. Okay. All right, let me know. Yeah, it's like 50 a month and then whatever cost per lead or whatever. But we're just starting, and I'm curious what we got. I know we've already been using the postcards have been going out, but we haven't gotten a deal from it yet. But I thought the concept was pretty nifty. I mean,
Works. Yeah. Well. I mean, if you just try it, if you don't send a postcard out, if you just try it, it really works well.
Cool.
Yeah, I mean, it just pops up with it. It asks you to confirm, is this the house or is this the address? And you hit yes, and then it pops up the owner's name. And do you want me to send the letter? And you can customize the letter however you want.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Yeah, I haven't had the opportunity to personally use it in the United States yet. I will when I get there next week. I'll be there next week, so I'm going to test it out. But my team has just started using it,
And, are you coming to visit?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll be in the United States, but I'm not, I won't be in your area. I won't be in your
That's
area.
That's a shame. That's a shame.
I know.
We were fixing dinner.
How far, let me ask you this, how far are you from Raleigh?
2.5 hours, 2 hours.
All right, because I'm going to be meeting up with my real estate coach from, my God, 13 years ago. And he's in Raleigh now. So if I make that happen, I have no problem taking the extra 2 hour drive up to hang out.
I
think that'd be cool.
You know, I could always meet you halfway or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd be willing to do that for sure.
That'd be cool.
Another thing that Trevor does, I don't know how involved you want to get with everybody, but and I'm all about, personal meeting, but still, one thing like Trevor does with Carrot is he goes, when he goes to Dallas, he does like a meetup, right?
Yeah.
So he'll do like, hey, I'm going to be in Dallas, so, at this restaurant at this time, for a couple hours. Hang out, we'll do it.
So. Yeah, and you know what? I do the same thing for us. I do it, I'm having one in Charlotte, though. That's the thing.
Uh-huh.
I'm having one
uh-huh.
in Charlotte. But I don't have many. There's only like you and who's that other person I connected? I'm sorry, I forgot her name.
Well, there's several people, but I know. But I hang out with Ashish all the time, Andy.
Andy.
All the time, but yeah, Andy's local.
Andy's local. Okay, so maybe we could do something like that, and then what I'll do is I'll tap into the database and I'll see him in that area, and then maybe I'll just jump up. From there, let me do some research on addresses. Cool.
And if you can't make it, let me know. And we'll come spend a half a day down there or something. And
we'll figure it out. Yeah,
whatever
cool.
we can do, we'll figure it out. Yeah, awesome.
Yeah, that'd
Thank
be cool.
You.
Yeah, man, awesome, good stuff. All right. Let's Forrest. Thanks so much, by the way, for sharing.
Are you welcome?
You know, what's happening in your business and stuff.
Yeah, sorry for hogging the whole time.
No, we'll open it.
All right,
now.
Hey, take care. We'll talk soon.
Yeah. Thanks, bud. Talk soon. All right. Bye. All right. We'll open up the lines for the next question or anything that's happened in your business, success story. Just jump on in there. Be the first one. Get your questions answered. Share something that's happening in your business, success story, challenge. And we are going to wrap up this call right at 1 o'clock, just so you know. And if you don't know why, that's because today is September 12th. And at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time is the Apple event. And Nathan, whenever there's an Apple conference, can you imagine, by the way, Apple is the first $1 trillion company? Isn't that amazing? Can you imagine we're alive during that time? That's like history in the making. History in the making. As well as Amazon. Amazon also crossed the threshold. Well, they went up and then they went back down. But also Amazon crossed over the $1 trillion threshold. It's absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing what's happened not only in the markets of business, but also in the real estate market as well. Anyway, today is the Apple event. And I always check off my calendar. I cross it off. And I always like to watch the Apple conference. Yes. By the way,
what are you most excited about?
I'm most excited about these new iPhones that they have coming out. And I'm waiting to see, I'm hoping they come out with a laptop that has no keyboard, no physical keyboard. The iPad you just tap on a screen? You know how the iPad you tap on a screen, the iPad keyboard, it's just on the screen. I'm hoping they come out with some hologram keyboard for a laptop. You know what I mean? It's just a hologram or something. So I don't know how they're going to do it. I don't know if that's going to come out this year, but it'd be really interesting to see. I don't think it's going to happen this year, though.
Yeah, I'm on a quest this year to turn into an iPad business. So
What do you mean, an iPad business? What do you mean?
Well, if I got to do work or something, I got to bring my laptop with me, and it gets inconvenient. So I carry a pad folio with me everywhere. And I have a 15-inch MacBook, and it just kind of gets inconvenient.
Yeah.
So right. I've been working on, you know, I haven't taken the leap and gone completely on drive yet. So, like, I'm, like,
know
double saving everything, you know, on drive.
Yeah.
And, double
yeah,
saving
yeah,
on drive and on my computer. And,
yeah.
And so now I'm, like, and I'm trying to figure out how to name the folders the same. And, you know, it's
that's
just,
right.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to make the leap into, so I really want an iPad. And so I'm looking forward to the new iPad. That's what
yeah,
but
the new iPad's
already got that. I already got the 8 Plus. So I'm in a car.
Oh, yeah.
Here, so the iPhone doesn't make any difference to me right now.
Right, right. Well, let me tell you something, Forrest. I know the struggle you're going through because when I was going digital with everything, I was, you know, like, oh, do I move from this from that? I sold my 13-inch laptop, and I went to a 15-inch simply because of the core drives, okay? I needed
mm-hmm.
it for video editing, so I went for the 15-inch. And that helped me make the decision to get the iPad because I said, there's
mm-hmm.
no way I'm carrying around a 15-inch laptop all the time. There's no way.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed my 13-inch. It was small. It was slender. So I jumped over to the iPad, and you know what? It was the best decision I ever made. And I got the one, that the new one that came out with the pencil, that you, not the Pro. I didn't go Pro.
Right.
I went the kid education one, they call it, the education iPad.
Mm-hmm.
So I got that one, and that was a great transition for me. It really was. It has the pencil. I can sign my contracts right from there.
Mm-hmm.
And just not having to take the laptop around, that was
mm-hmm.
huge. That was like, wow. I don't need to – my laptop – so actually my laptop most of the time is just for editing videos.
Mm-hmm.
Now and you know what? One of my clients out in Ohio, he uses speech dictation for everything. Like
mm-hmm.
to write it – to send a text message, he uses speech dictation. To write an
mm-hmm.
email, speech dictation. I was like, wow, I really admire you. I admired him. I told him. I was like, dude, I really admire that. And you know what?
Mm-hmm.
I've been starting to do that every time I do it. So I'm not typing as much anymore. I'm just saying it. And
right.
That's been a little transition also. But Forrest, whenever, maybe right after this today, jump for the iPad, man. Seriously, it's fun. It's actually, yeah, it's good.
The other thing I want from the iPad is, I'm trying to finish my pilot training this year. And they
yeah.
have a thing called ForeFlight that only works on the iPad. So I'm just,
Just gonna take the leap.
It's like GPS,
yeah, yeah.
And all this stuff and
right.
traffic and weather and all that stuff for flying. So
right.
I just been waiting for the next
yeah.
generation of toy. Right. To
right.
yeah.
Can we fly? Can you fly me if I can we fly if I'm there or no?
I just have my student license right now, but by the end of the year I'm gonna have it. And then next time you
okay.
come, we'll go flying for sure.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Yeah, that'd be
yeah,
sweet.
We'll have a blast.
That'd be
yeah,
sweet.
We'll have a blast. We'll fly over Lake Wylie and
yeah.
throw
yeah.
power bombs out.
That's funny. That's great, man. Oh, yeah, that's awesome. Cool, man. I admire you for that because I started to go for pilot lessons. I admire you for that.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Congratulations. That's going to be cool.
It's been a dream for too long. So I just
yeah.
I gotta stop this dreaming thing. Just get through it. Even if I never fly after that, I just gotta do it.
You just gotta do it. Yeah.
Just say it's done.
Yeah. But you'll do it. You know, speaking of flying, I don't know if you heard about this, but Uber is coming out with it's already out. They're testing it in different markets called Uber Air. Have you heard of it?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, so basically they're taking little, like, Cessnas, you know, and they'll pick you up in an Uber car. They'll take you to the local airport, and your plane will be there. And they'll fly you to wherever you want. They just tested it here in Uganda on Monday. And they did, like, 10 flights. Yeah, they did 10 flights. They had, like, a limited amount of flights, so they did 10 flights. And it worked out great. And, yeah, you request it right from the Uber app. They pick
mm-hmm.
you up in an Uber car, like you drive an Uber driver. Then you get on the plane, and the whole fare, the car and the airplane, is all attached to the same ride. So they charge you one time. And, Uber Air, man, it's crazy.
Hey, man,
so they need more pilots.
that's what's so magical about Uber and things like that.
Yeah.
It's like free, right? Because you never saw anything.
Yeah.
You never, you just click a button.
Right.
And that's what this whole,
yeah,
you know, currency-less technology and this currency-less world is going to be. It's just going to be like, it's just going to be, it's going to, they make it feel like it doesn't cost anything. That's why it's so successful.
Right. Yeah.
You know, take a you got to give them either cash or your credit card. You got to sit there and sign and all that crap. But with Uber, it's just like, hey, man, come pick me up. Like buddies, right?
Yeah.
Dude,
it's
I need
so
ride.
It's so true.
I'm wasting that ride.
That's so true. Well, yeah. All right, man. Well, I hope you catch the Apple event as well. I'm going to jump on, see if there's any more questions since we've hogged the whole entire call today. Almost. That's all good. All right. Anyone has any other questions? Jump on in at any time. We like to have fun in here. Real estate should be fun anyway. You got to have fun. You got to make it enjoyable. Otherwise, it'll just drive you crazy. And then you'll find yourself on some kind of medication. But you got to make this business fun. And actually, everything Forrest just mentioned about going digital, being in the cloud, I'll tell you what, it's one of the most freeing things. Like, the right word is not free. Liberating, I don't know. It's it definitely makes life a little bit more easier, especially in our paper-driven industry, right? Our industry is paper-driven, paper and contract-driven. So one of the most important things that I'll leave you with this tip as well as, because I know it's exactly what Forrest is going through, is as you go more digital in your business, one of the most important things is to be super organized with folders. Name all your folders. Even if you have to take, like, you know, in the beginning, even if you have to clean everything up and name everything appropriately, it might take you a few days or whatever, a few, like an hour a day, whatever you need to do. But just make sure all your folders are named correctly. And every time you save a file, two things are really important. Every time you save a contract or a file, you need to make sure that file is named correctly. Which means, for example, if someone sends you a contract that you need to sign, or you're sending a contract digitally and it's coming back and it's a signed contract. So what you would want to do is title, this is just an example, but you would want to title that that contract and say something, title it like 123 Main Street signed contract, right? Because sometimes you're going to have a draft contract and you're going to have, you know, not a complete, some, maybe one signature sided contract. So you want to title your documents accordingly. And then as soon as it's saved and titled, then you want to file it, right? So you want to put that in the right folder. And you want to get very comfortable, or you start using more of a search bar on your computer. Everything should be searchable. So whenever you're looking for a certain contract, a document, maybe a video, a picture, something, what you can do is easily use a search bar and type in the property address on just on your computer. And all of a sudden, it pulls up everything about that property. It does require a little bit more organization skills if you're not organized like myself. I'm not really that organized, but I had to train myself to be more organized digitally. So keep that in mind. Those are some just things. There's some, by the way, there's some great YouTube videos on how to keep your computer organized. There's a lot of great tips out there. So I'd look into that first, get a little acquainted how you want to build out your system digitally, because it can help streamline your business a lot. And you don't want to be the person who's got, I mean, if you physically have papers or sticky notes all over your current desk or workspace, wherever you do real estate, if it's like everywhere and you feel lost and everything's piled up and there's a mess everywhere, if that's how you feel, just be before you go digital, you don't want to create the same mess in your digital world. All right. But staying organized is a process. I'll even tell you what, even on Sunday, my kids were sleeping. We were just hanging out at home and, we were kind of taking our afternoon nap and, you know, we're just chilling out. I don't go looking at properties or anything online, but what I did was I went into my Google Drive folder and I just started going through files and folders and I said, do I really need this? delete, you know, cleaning up in my Google Drive folder. I work a lot off Google Drive or Apple Cloud. And I just got going through files, and I said, oh, let me spend, you know, 30 minutes cleaning out folders or cleaning out documents I don't need anymore, renaming things if I have to, stuff like that. So it's not something you should spend, like, or clear out a whole weekend for. I don't think that's realistic. I think in anything that you do in your business, whether it's making offers, cleaning up, organizing your real estate business, whatever it is, it doesn't need an entire day. It doesn't need an entire weekend to get started. If you spend 1 hour a day or less, whatever you have, 30 minutes a day, 1 hour a day, and doing that thing, you're going to get a lot farther ahead than if you would to try to spend 5 hours on a weekend or something like that, okay? So just a little bit every day helps you get closer to those goals. So just keep that in mind. But everything that in regards to going digital, really important. It does help you grow your business, especially as you build in this economy. And the way we do transaction and business is going digital. So should you. All right? So move with the change. It'll make your life a lot better. All right. I'm going to open it up one more time for questions. If you have a question, jump on in here. And take a few more minutes. And if you just chime right in, if you don't have any other questions, or if you want to submit a question via email, you can do that also. Nathan@LarryGowans.com, and I will get your questions answered today via email. Okay. All right. Great. So I wish you the absolute best in your real estate investing business this week. Also, I'll put it out there if you want to send, again, any questions or give me an update on your real estate business. Feel free to send that over to Nathan@LarryGowans.com. Look forward to hearing from you. Thanks for joining in on the call as well. And, again, we'll be meeting the fourth Wednesday of every month, same time. And that's where we'll talk about buyers and sellers. Be prepared. Bring your questions to the call and get in there, get involved. And we'll get more questions answered. All right. Thanks so much, everyone. And I will talk to you real soon.